divorce or the breakup of a serious relationship can be a devastating ordeal, and recovery can be difficult. Treacherous. Some people don't seem to recover at all. Others, although appearing to be past their divorce or breakup, still carry the pain as well as the fear of getting close to a partner again. There are no magical solutions for divorce, but today we're going to look into answers, things you can do to ease the process of getting back on your feet and regaining control of your life. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. I'm Dr. Nerida, and I'm delighted that you've joined me for our program today. Go Healthy for Good is live every Monday to Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have questions on health, call us at 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Our phone lines are open for your calls right now. You can also interact with us through Facebook, Twitter, via text messages, and if you want to text us, please use this number. 301-960-5144. Marriage used to be forever. These days it seems that by forever some people actually mean until it gets to be too much effort or until it feels like forever. Take a look at these daily news clips.
Why don't we just get a divorce? Everybody else is.
No, we're not getting divorced.
Will Arnett and Amy Poehler's 9-year marriage is reportedly over.
Here in America, our divorce rate is a whopping 40-50%, and around the world it's not much better. Canada is settled at around 48%, and Australia is settled at around 40%. That means that on average, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce.
Well, one enterprising businessman has a new idea. It's called the Divorce Hotel. Couples check in married, they check out single. And
according to FindLaw.com, the nation's number one website for free legal information, divorce filings spike in January, surge in February, and peak in March.
If you look at continuous divorce rates that occur in America alone, you're looking at about 50% divorce rates for a first marriage, 67% for the second marriage, and then 74% for the third marriage.
Wow.
So either society itself has some serious issues that need to be resolved, or marriage itself has expired.
Heidi Klum and Seal are getting divorced.
A Hollywood ending. The famous couple the tabloids dubbed Tomcat is calling it quits as Katie Holmes files for divorce from Tom Cruise after 5 years of marriage.
Divorce being so common and passe and easy, why wouldn't you just try a different shoe if the one you're wearing doesn't fit? We have celebrities like J-Lo and Elizabeth Taylor and Sinead O'Connor, who among them have 15 marriages. So it shows us how temporary the bonds of marriage actually are.
As the title of their book suggested, Al and Tipper Gore were once joined at the heart, but now friends say they have simply grown apart. It's hard to be stunned about a married couple separating these days. Divorce Magazine reports that 46% of all marriages end in divorce in this country. The likelihood decreases as you get older, but still, 36% of people over 60 divorce.
Joining me today is Dr. Willie Oliver. Dr. Oliver holds a doctoral degree in sociology and a master's degree in pastoral counseling and family sociology. Dr. Oliver and his wife Elaine are founders and directors of Journey Towards Intimacy Marriage Retreats, From This Day Forward Marriage Conferences, and they author several columns in different publications. Together they have two young adult children. Unfortunately, Elaine is unwell, cannot be with us today, but welcome, Dr. Oliver.
It's good to be with you.
Now tell us, what emotions might a person be feeling when their partner suddenly tells them that they want to file for divorce?
Well, you know, divorce is one of those very difficult situations in life. Anger, anxiety, feelings of insecurity, ambivalence, not sure. Feeling
ambivalence
that.
About?
Well, they're feeling perhaps they did something wrong, or feelings of guilt. I should have tried harder. I'm just not pretty enough, or I'm not handsome enough. I didn't make enough money. I just didn't try hard enough. You know, perhaps there's something I should have done that I didn't do. All kinds of doubts.
So lots of feelings of inadequacy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What would your advice be? Things that they might do at that point when life suddenly is pulled out from under them?
Well, there are a number of things they can do. Certainly, they can try to fix it instead of going for a divorce. Divorce is not inevitable. To be sure, there are situations where perhaps if someone is abusing you, beating you up, or being involved, engaged in affairs, serial affairs, that is really traumatic and really hits at the heart of marriage. But if you're just going to get divorced, and in your intro, people were saying they grew apart. The reality is every marriage is going to grow apart. Every couple is going to grow apart unless they're intentional about growing together every day.
Why is it?
Well, because we're sinners. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You're married to a human being. There are no perfect marriages because there are no perfect people. So if you're married to a human being, they're never going to be 100%. So if your happiness depends on another human being, then chances are that you'll be disappointed. But if we can face reality and realize that it naturally is going to happen, what we need to do is be intentional about growing together every day. So divorce doesn't have to happen. It's not inevitable. What's inevitable is that you're going to be growing apart. Sin separates people, and naturally, as human beings, we're not always the same. We feel differently. We change. Today we want to eat spaghetti. Tomorrow I want Indian food. And it's hard to keep up when you're married to a human being.
Yes.
And since that's what we're usually married to, it's really challenging.
Okay. Let's say that every effort has been tried, but divorce is now the way
that's happening.
The spouse is choosing. Well, any advice that you would give for them not to do during that, immediately after the news of a divorce, impending divorce?
Well, realize that these things do happen, that we are still on earth. It's not a perfect place. It's not heaven yet. And divorce happens even among Christians, even among strong Christians. Of course, someone may perhaps challenge that notion because we also believe that a crisis in marriage is a spiritual crisis. But now you're going to get a divorce. Whatever the situation, stay calm. Don't go off the handle. Find people that you trust, that you've had a long-term relationship with, your parents, your good friends, perhaps relatives, people who can support you and who can be there for you emotionally. It's a emotionally devastating reality. And so...
So you're saying find people to support you and talk to them.
Yes.
Don't bottle it up.
Yes, right. And or a good counselor. In fact, I would suggest before getting divorced or before getting to that place, I know we're talking about divorce, and I'm always trying to avoid divorce because the reality is God hates divorce. Now, I want to be very clear that God doesn't hate anyone who is divorced. God loves everyone. But he hates divorce because he knows what it does. It separates people. Children get separated from parents. Families become disintegrated. We know what it does to spiritual life. People tend to quit going to church and stuff like that. And so what we really want to talk about today is how to avoid getting to that place.
Yeah. Okay. And how does one deal with the sense of failure and defeat when they're facing the breakup of a long-term relationship?
Well, again, admit that you're human and you're not perfect. You're not perfect. Your spouse is not perfect. And perhaps someone got to the breaking point where they couldn't go anymore. And that's reality.
So avoid blaming yourself for all the woes.
Avoid blaming yourself. Avoid blaming yourself. Don't go into despair. Connect with God. Connect with your pastor. Connect with spiritual people, people who are grounded, people who are solid in their own relationship with God. Yeah.
Okay, let's say we're going from a two-income family suddenly to a one-income family. Any financial advice for someone going through this? Because this can be one of the biggest challenges.
It always happens. You know, when people get divorced, they experience downward mobility. In the past, women who were divorced were among the poorest people in the United States because often they didn't work. Today, More and more women are in the marketplace, in the workplace, so that's less and less so. But the reality is, every couple that divorces will experience some level of downward mobility because it's cheaper for two people or three people to live in the same house than for you to now all of a sudden be paying rent or mortgage on your own. So what do you do? Well, find a rich relative. Well, you have to do better than that. Be real about what's happening. Accept the reality of what's happening. If you're a young adult and you've not been married for very long, perhaps you have no children, that may be to your advantage. You may want to move in with a sibling or move in with your parents or with a friend, good friend, someone who can support you, not someone who's going to take advantage of you. You also want to avoid...
So be aware of your vulnerability.
Yes, you're very vulnerable. You're emotionally on the surface. And so you don't want to place yourself in any position that's going to hurt you.
So be really sure about the decision of where you're going to move to and how you're going to deal with that.
And be specific about it. And especially if you have children, you want to be careful about what's going to happen to your children. Yeah.
Speaking of children, is there a better way to deal with children, to how you behave in front of your children when there is a
divorce
friction between the two parents?
Well, if you're talking about friction between parents before divorce, it all depends.
Or even after.
If you're talking about after divorce, you need to try to protect your children as much as possible. Well, what I usually say to couples who are about to divorce or going through a divorce, try to keep your children in the context that they're used to. Don't change their school. Don't quit going to church. These are familiar environments, and the more familiar the environments for that individual who's going through trauma, the better it's going to be for you. So keep your children in the same school. Keep them around the same social networks. There's tension between relatives and friends. People take sides, and that's a problem. So you want to look for the friends that you have who are solid friends, who you can depend on, and who have been in your lives for a long time. Yeah.
So when making that decision, those financial decisions of scaling down your life, try to stay in the same neighborhood.
Try to stay in the same neighborhood if you can, if you can afford it. Many times that's not possible. But if you can, moving in with someone who lives in the area, your parents, your friends, you may need to do that for a while. The reality is, do not despair. Accept reality. Recognize that it's not the end. This has happened to lots of people before you, and they have survived. And don't look at yourself as a victim. Think of yourself as a survivor. Survivors overcome.
That's good. You know, exercise is known to improve one's mood and outlook on life. And our fitness trainer, Sean, is going to join us later in the program with some muscle-building exercises. And if you're wondering what to cook for dinner, you'll want to join me in Justin's kitchen. That's still ahead. We'll be right back.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, 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 praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Back. We're continuing our conversation on divorce recovery with Dr. Willie Oliver. Dr. Oliver, becoming single again and losing those things can really shake your self-confidence because for X amount of time, you've always been a pair. And how do you rebuild self-worth, self-confidence after something like this?
Well, one should never be afraid to get help and even professional help. Just a little while ago, I was speaking about friends and relatives that you can depend on. Well, get a good counselor, someone who can walk you through the steps of grieving. Divorce is the loss of a relationship and one that was valued to you. So in many ways, it's like death. A marriage has died, and because a marriage has died, allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to go through the grief process. It's not very different than if you lost someone by death. So those processes are important. The reality is your life is changing. Admit that it's changing. Accept that it's changing. Get people to help you who can help you remain centered and composed. It's not always possible. Sometimes it's overwhelming. But if it is overwhelming, get professional help. Don't be afraid to do so. Yeah.
So seek help.
Yes, absolutely.
Seek support. You know, it's too easy to have a pity party, and it could be very justified to have a pity party. Yeah. Are there ways, and I guess it's realistic to have some weeks where that is a reality in your life, but you don't want to stay there. How does somebody move out of that phase of the grief and loss of a relationship?
Be real about what's happening to your life. If you have to move out of your home and you need to scale down, do so without having the pity party that you're talking about. Just accept reality. There's something else that I want to say about that, and try to keep it civil, especially if you have children. Try to be civil to your past spouse. Have good conversation, a good relationship, at least a civil relationship. You have to talk about the children. You will always have these children in common. So don't just get angry and destroy every time you have an opportunity to speak to this person. You're off the handle because the children are involved. And you want to, as much as possible, protect your children. The reality is children are always affected, no matter how old or how young they are, when their parents get divorced. But as a parent, you're the adult in the relationship, and it's your responsibility to protect the health of your children.
Yeah. And I believe children, if they see their parents disrespecting each other, do a lot worse.
Absolutely.
Than if they see their parents still showing respect.
Well, yes.
Because they still love and respect both parents.
Yes.
And so it's very disparaging for them to see one or other being disrespected.
That's correct. So you gain no points by making the other person look bad. What you're doing is making your child more insecure. And what you want to do as much as possible is build up the self-esteem of your children. They're already going to have a difficult time with their friends finding out that dad left or mom left. That's difficult. It's devastating. It's almost like a death in the family. And so we want to be sure that we make choices very carefully and that we get people who can support us and who we trust. And while we want to move on from the fact that divorce has taken place, don't be too quick to jump into another relationship. Don't be on the rebound. That's going to hurt you.
Why?
Well, because you're not healed enough. You're not healthy enough to go back into another relationship. Your emotions are still raw.
And so what might that do to the next relationship?
Well, it's going to make you begin a new relationship on a faulty foundation. The reality is, if you're in a relationship, in a marriage for a long time, you're used to another human being there with you, perhaps hugging you, being close, affectionate, and you miss that. But don't be too vulnerable. Be strong. Be aware of what's happening to you. Be aware of your emotions. Know when you are getting a little out of control. And don't allow yourself to be in circumstances, in situations, where someone may take advantage of you. So be mindful of those things. Yeah.
So again, remember your vulnerability.
Yes, absolutely.
And protect yourself.
Protect yourself.
More for your own protection than anything.
Actually. Absolutely. And you also want to protect your children. Yeah, you want to make sure that as you're taking those steps, that you are healed from this brokenness before you take another step forward.
Yeah. And it was interesting, we saw those statistics that first marriages,
yes,
about 50%, and
yes,
second marriages, 60-some percent.
That's correct.
Third marriages, you're up above 70%.
Yes, and what I like to say to people about that is getting a divorce doesn't solve any problems. And getting into another marriage, we know what the statistics say, and that is the more times you've been married, the more likely that you'll be divorced, the higher the rate of divorce.
So that's a terrible legacy to give your children.
That is correct.
If by acting too soon,
yes,
you set yourself up for another divorce.
That's correct.
And I think divorce is painful enough once without setting yourself up for the second or
that's
the third
correct.
Time.
And the reality is we already know that if you are married and divorced and are getting remarried, that the chances of that marriage ending in divorce are higher than the first marriage. So you want to be very careful.
Do you know how long typically a second marriage would last?
2.5 years, 5 years, it all depends.
So not long.
Not long.
Not long.
Not long, because once you've gotten divorced, it's easier to do it again. I don't have to take this. I'm out of here. But
because you did survive.
Absolutely.
You see yourself as a survivor
yes.
at that point.
Yes, but more than that, once you've done something, for almost everyone, divorce is a taboo. Oh, that's not what we want to do. No one in society sets out to get married to get divorced, even though more and more people are doing that because of experiences they've had in the past. Mm. What we do know is that people who grew up in families where their parents divorced are more likely to divorce in the future, once they get married, then compared to their peers whose parents stayed together. So that's also a reality that we are having to deal with. And so we want to be very careful that we make decisions that are good decisions for our future and the future of our children.
Now, on this show, we often talk about risk factors. And even in this context, we can look at those risk factors and say, okay, I have risk factors for divorce.
Yes.
I need to future-proof my marriage.
Yes.
And therefore have premarital counseling and go into it with your eyes open, as
with your eyes wide open.
Wide open.
Yes, because you're married to a human being. And the reality is, I often say that it doesn't matter how long you've dated someone or you've known someone, people change. And their true colors come out when you're that close. And marriage is the most intimate relationship on the earth. Mm-hmm. So the closer we get to each other, the easier it is for us to hurt each other and the more vulnerable we become. So we want to take those decisions very carefully, very measuredly, and discuss it well with a professional before you engage in marriage. Yeah.
Getting back to the situation of divorce, how important is forgiveness in the healing process?
Well, the reality is forgiveness, if people knew how to forgive, we would have way less divorces. Because you're married to a human being, you're going to hurt each other. You know, my wife, I wish you were here tonight and we could feed off of each other and talk about that. Because we have decided that we will never hurt each other on purpose. On purpose. But we're human beings. We say things that we didn't know was going to hurt the other person. We do things inadvertently that hurts the other person. Now, if I ask for forgiveness and you cannot find it within yourself to forgive me, the relationship is over. So, learning how to forgive and recognizing that you're married to a human being and that human beings are not perfect. They make mistakes. If someone makes a mistake, and it's an honest mistake, well, forgive them. Chances are, as we forgive, we become the recipients of the forgiveness that we will eventually need. Because we're humans, we're going to make mistakes.
So, the marriage is over, and it didn't end well. And there's a lot of things to forgive
yes.
around those circumstances.
Yes.
So I'm saying, does finding the resources within or without of yourself
to forgive
forgiveness,
yes.
that is going to help us move on.
Well, yeah, and keep in mind that forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself. Yes, so people say, well, I'm not going to forgive you, you know, you, and they use choice language and they say you're just no good and worse than that, so I'm not going to forgive you, you don't deserve my forgiveness. The reality is forgiveness is for ourselves. When we don't forgive, it hurts us physically, emotionally. If we had a physician here or someone who is into physiology, they could tell us what happens when we fail to forgive. So forgiveness is a virtue, certainly a spiritual virtue, and it's one that we take for ourselves. Yes, we want to forgive the other person because we want to quit trying to punish the other individual. But the reality is, when we decide not to forgive, we're actually punishing ourselves.
So it's like putting some caustic acid and it begins to eat our heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And once it begins to eat at our heart, it's going to disappear, dissipate, and then we won't have the strength, the emotional fortitude to have the kind of balanced life that we need to have for our children, for ourselves going forward.
If you like cheese, but you don't like your rising cholesterol level, then stay tuned. We're going to create a cheese alternative that's absolutely delicious. That's after today's medical news report and a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. In the headlines today, D is for development, yerba mate good for diabetes, and it's all in the aroma. Researchers in Barcelona published findings in the journal Pediatrics this week that will be of interest to young women planning pregnancy. In a large study, infants born to mothers with higher vitamin D levels had higher mental and psychomotor scores than infants born to mothers with low levels of vitamin D. This week in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition, consumption of yerba mate tea combined with nutritional counseling improved cholesterol and triglyceride levels in patients with prediabetes. In those with type 2 diabetes, it was associated with better diabetes control. However, be sure to drink in moderation because it is a natural stimulant. A man in Colorado has successfully sued a food manufacturer and a supermarket chain for failing to warn consumers that inhaling the buttery aroma of microwave popcorn can put them at risk of serious lung injury. Wayne Watson ate 2 bags of the popcorn daily for 10 years. He stopped when his doctor finally made the link between his deteriorating lung capacity and his popcorn habit. In the lawsuit, he won more than $7 million. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben. And that's today's medical news report.
As I was reading through The Great Hope, this phrase caught my attention. As a mine has rich veins of gold and silver hidden beneath the surface, so that all must dig who would discover its precious stores, so the Holy Scriptures have treasures of truth that are revealed only to the earnest, humble, prayerful seeker. Here's why this brings me hope. If someone reads the Bible for the first time and does not understand a certain scripture, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they will be able to understand it in the future. We also have to remember that the Bible is a lesson book in which it needs to be constantly studied at all times.
To go healthy for good. Today we're whipping a healthy alternative up for cheese, and it all begins with a few nuts. Justin, what have you got? This looks beautiful.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Tonight we're making jack cheese spread.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's cashews and a couple other ingredients, and it turns into this nice kind of cheesy spread.
Wow. Because one thing about cheese, it's very yummy. It's very hard to replace. But
that's
you think
true.
You've done it.
Well, why don't we whip it up and you tell me what you think?
Great.
How's that?
Okay.
Okay. So this jack cheese spread, cashews. It's a cup of cashews, 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1 cup of water, 1/4 cup sesame seed, 1 tablespoon of onion powder, 1/4 cup of yeast flakes, 1/2 cup red pepper, and 1/4 tablespoon of garlic powder. It's all
That's
pretty good
it.
Stuff, right?
Yes, it is. Sounds yummy. I love onion powder.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
anything with onions.
It's like the magic ingredient.
Raw, cooked, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a really easy recipe. It's basically just dump it all in there, blend it up, and
That's
cook it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay, so I'm going to start by pouring our water here into our blender.
That's a cup of water.
A cup of water. Put these cashews in there. See if I can make them splash real good. Now these are some sesame seeds.
Oh, nice. So we've got some cashews and sesame. So two different type seeds and nuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything special we need to know about sesame seeds?
Oh, yeah. Good source of calcium.
Oh, calcium.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm. And very tasty in cheeses, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's, I guess the cashews are there because they kind of provide the...
They got the fat, the creamy.
Right. Gives you the feeling in your mouth that it's this cheesy, yummy stuff.
Yes.
Okay, here's some yeast flakes we'll put in there. We've got some garlic powder.
So yeast flakes are going to give us good vitamin B vitamins.
Like all the B vitamins? Or a lot of them?
Pretty good. It's not going to cover the B12. If you're on a totally plant-based diet, you're still going to want to supplement with B12.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of the B vitamins in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Add some onion powder in there. Those actually look like onion flakes, but either will do. Mm-hmm. And some red bell pepper.
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
Yum.
And because it's red, it has...
Yeah, it's going to make it look like cheese.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And then this is a little bit of lemon juice. We'll just pour that in there.
That'll give it that tang.
Yeah. Okay, so would you like the privilege of pushing the button?
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll let you make the mess today.
All righty. Wasn't that fun?
That's it? That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
That is it. So right now it's kind of thin. So.
Oh, that smells so good.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well, can we pretend to pour it into this to bake
sure,
it?
Sure, let's pretend. So what you would do is you would pour this into a baking dish and you would bake it for about an hour at 180 degrees. Take it out, let it cool, and then it turns into the consistency that you would be able to slice it and put it on bread if you wanted in a sandwich or it's kind of like a spread.
Yes. So like we've got over here.
Yeah. Here's our finished product. Here.
So you can actually slice that. Shall I?
Slice it.
Shall I do the deed?
Sure.
This looks like fun.
Yeah. Ooh. Look at that.
Wow.
That looks pretty good.
Now that looks good enough to put in the kids' lunches. What do you think?
Looks good enough to eat even. You want to try it? You want to try eating some?
Sure.
Hey, okay. We've got some crackers over
there. Yeah, we've got some crackers. Let's pop them over here.
Okay.
So we could make like a cheese sandwich with some lettuce, tomato, cucumber.
Yeah, and cheese. Just use that for your cheese.
Cheese? You could even use that to replace the margarine or butter, couldn't you?
Right, and it's going to taste so rich and delicious, but at the same time, you will know, wow, there's nothing unhealthy in this.
Right.
Isn't that great?
That is. Okay, I'm going to mind fingers.
Oh, thank you. Shall we toast?
All right. We'll cracker.
Ding. All right.
Mmm.
Wow, that's good.
Mmm.
I would totally put that on a sandwich.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that is really good. You definitely want to try this.
Check it out.
Now, the other thing we can do with this is boil some pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put, because if with that consistency, you could put it into with your macaroni, say.
Right.
Pop it in the oven with some breadcrumbs and, oh, you'd have a lovely macaroni cheese.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. If you don't take the step of baking this mixture, mm-hmm. You can use it as a liquidy cheese sauce. Put it on your macaroni, put it with lasagna. Maybe, I suppose you could maybe pour it on a pizza. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you could. It would be a little bit runny, but not too runny.
Yeah.
So I think you could easily
especially if it was a thick crust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put a whole pool of cheese sauce.
Maybe use
it
instead of the tomato sauce?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yes, Well, in just a moment, we'll take a look at some really good exercise moves that you can do right there at home. But first, here's another ageless advantage.
Nuts, like almonds and peanuts, are full of healthy antioxidants. But not every almond or peanut on the supermarket shelf has the same antioxidant punch. Most of the nuts' antioxidants are found in their outer soft covering. When this is damaged through peeling or blanching, half or more of the antioxidants are lost. Choose raw almonds over blanched and enjoy your peanuts with the brown papery covering intact. Choosing nuts in their natural state is another ageless advantage.
Our fitness instructor, Sean, is here again to help us get in shape. Sean, you've got some exercises for the folks tonight.
As always.
And I think they're going nuts to get it.
Okay.
Get to them. So what have you got?
So remember, well, on last week we talked about dynamic workouts, right? Dynamic exercise, just to get your body prepared for movement, all right? So we're going to start with a butt kick, all right? It's a great way to get, you could point face that way, a great way to get your quads warmed up and keep your chest up, all right? So what I want you to do is bring your heel of your sneaker to your butt. There you go. Perfect. It's called a butt kick. Just warming up. Dynamic, preparing your legs for exercise. All right? And you can do this for about maybe 30 seconds to about a minute just to get warmed up. And the second one would be a lunge with a twist. So you're just going to lunge forward, and the side that you lunge with is the side that you're going to twist to. All right? So try that. Exactly. And then do the opposite side. And back. Chest up and back. Great way to warm up the body, prepare you for movement. All right? So now you do that. You can do it for about 30 seconds to a minute as well, as long as you get yourself warm. So the first exercise, I brought a chair out here, and what we can do is I'm going to show you a squat with a press. Everyone asked about how to tone up the arms, but I'm going to show you how to tone up your legs and your arms simultaneously.
Oh, really?
All right? So you're going to take the weight here. You're going to use no weight, all right?
Okay.
And you're going to squat down. As you come in the squat position, as you come up, press all the way up. So now you're working your quads and your shoulder simultaneously. So why did I put that chair there? So as a guide. So come forward right here. And as you come down, your butt taps the chair a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And come up. Yes. And press. As a guide.
Ah.
So if you're a beginner, start with about 10 reps. But if you're more advanced, this is a more advanced exercise. You can see my heart rate is going up.
Yes.
You can do about 15 reps. Again, working your quads and your shoulders.
Right.
All right. It's a combination exercise. So you always got to think about, how do I maximize my time exercising when I have a little bit of time?
Right.
So combination exercise.
So how much weight would us little ones use?
I would say 8 pounds to 10 pounds is a great way to start. If you're a little bit stronger, go up a little bit heavier. If you get to about 12 reps and you feel like, all right, I'm out of breath, I'm working, that's what you want. You want the body to work. You want the heart to pump, all right?
All right.
So the second one is a deadlift with a bicep curl. All right, again, maximizing time, combination exercise, and you're gonna work the back of the leg, all right?
All right.
So palms are up, and you're gonna come all the way down, getting a good stretch of the hamstring. The hamstring is located right back here.
Right.
Right?
Back in here.
Your powerhouse. And you, as you come up, you stand up and you perform this bicep curl. So now you're working the hamstring, the biceps of the leg, and the biceps of the arm.
Nice.
All right? Combination exercise. Again, if you're beginning, stick with about 10 reps. If you're a little bit more advanced, 12 to 15. All right?
All right.
You want to get to the end of that, try that again. You want to try with the tens?
Sure.
Go ahead. So now if you get to the end of that, perfect. I like that. There you go. Keep your eyes forward. And actually, I want you to stay down there next time. All right, stay down there. You're going to get that stretch right here in the hamstring. Mm-hmm. When this is elongated, your biceps are working and your palms are facing up. Okay, as you stand up, that's when you do the bicep curl. All right, so again, two regions, very little bit of time. 10 to 15 reps in that range, working your hamstring and your bicep. Okay?
Kinda that cool, feels huh? really nice,
it
actually.
Does. And that's 10, so now you got to use 10s from now on.
Oh, really?
the setup. I just want to
see. I just got myself in trouble.
So the third one is working the legs again, but now working the outside of the delt. The first thing you see when you have a short sleeve shirt on are your delts, all right? So you want to shape those delts up. So we're going to go in a static position. Go into lunge for me, right here, all right? Bring that back knee down, all right? You're going to stay in this position, all right? So right off the bat, your quads are going to be on fire, all right?
Yes.
Keep your chest up, and you're going to keep the weight here.
I hope you're joining us.
Yeah, I hope so.
In the suffering.
It's not suffering.
Because it's good suffering.
It's good suffering. All right, so again, your quads are working the entire time, and you're going to stay in this position right here. Working your delts, the rear delt. There you go. So now at this time, when you get to about 6 or 7 reps,
they're starting to shake.
You're going to start doing the dance.
I hope you're shaking as well. Otherwise, this is very embarrassing.
It is. The reality is you're going to work this quad, and that quad's going to get a good workout. And then what you do is you switch sides, switch legs. And switch. Try and bring that back knee down. So the goal here is to make sure that this back knee comes down and your chest is up.
Turn sideways.
There you go. Perfect. Right? Your knee doesn't pass in front of your sneaker, and okay. your quad is getting a nice little workout. All right.
Yes, it did. Thanks, Sean.
You're gonna feel that.
Hope I can walk over to join Dr. Oliver in a minute.
So we talked about dynamic warm up.
Yes.
Look, a couple exercises, and then you want to cool down. All right. So what we're gonna do is taking your arm, bring it across the body. You just work that delt, right?
Right.
So now you want to stretch out that delt. The static exercising, elongating the muscle, relaxing, okay?
So remember, folks, this is after your muscles have been warmed
up. There you
go. You don't want to do this on cold.
Exactly. So this is called a static exercise. So we switch sides, make sure it's even. So you may feel a little bit of tightness right here in that rear delt because you just worked it out on that stationary lunge and the deltoid lateral raise. So you may feel a little bit of a tightness here, which is fine,
mm-hmm.
but what you want to do is just kind of relax. And you keep going, you keep holding this point right here until it gets a little bit more relaxed.
And that can be half a minute, can't it?
It could be, depending on your fitness level or if you prepare properly beforehand. Mm. And then you shake it off, okay? Maybe your legs, get the blood flowing, get your arms loose, shake it off, you'd be all good.
And we're going to stretch some legs.
We could.
Let's do a static stretch. Those poor old...
So chest up.
Legs are a bit sore right now.
Your legs are sore already?
Yeah.
We could talk after
this. I'm just a chicken.
We could talk after this. All right. We're going to work on some balance then.
Uh-oh. He's going to see me afterwards. I'm in trouble.
So now we just worked out the hamstring, right?
Yeah.
So now you're going to bring that knee all the way up. This is called the knee raise. Chest up. And you're stretching out that glute, all right? And the hamstring. So if I turn to the side here, you'll be able to see that hamstring being stretched right here. Now, the hamstring is connected to the glute.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you stretch this, the more mobility and flexibility you have, okay? And switch sides.
Okay. What's hurting in my quads from that last one?
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, it is not.
It is.
It is?
It is.
Come on, then you need to work
out
some more.
I bet yours are hurting too. I'll tell you. They've all got sore quads as well now.
I love it though. You gotta love the burn though.
Now, how are you going to stretch my quads for me?
Here you go.
Okay.
Point the knee down. Chest up.
That feels
there it
so
is.
Good.
There you go. So you got the quads nice and stretched. You want to point stretched. You want to point that knee down. All right. And push your hip forward. So the more you push the hip forward, you elongate this muscle here. All right?
I can feel that.
And then you stretch a little bit more.
Okay.
All
the other one's feeling lonely now.
Got to balance Woo-hoo. It out.
Yeah.
Or else. So again, static exercises. Static right after you finish working out. And it reduces soreness.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Tremendously. Thank you so much,
very,
Sean.
Very, very welcome. See you on Wednesday.
Yeah. We're going to miss you. Thanks for posting your comments and your questions on our Facebook page. I've really been enjoying answering them. Don't forget that you can call us live. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Oh, and don't forget, you can text us anytime. The number for texts is 301-960-5144. We're still taking your health questions on divorce recovery. Post a comment on our Facebook page or send us a tweet.
Dr. Willie Oliver will join me again after the break. Go Healthy for Good is going to be right back.
As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights.
I know I'm looking for something. But what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
Go Healthy for Good. We're taking more of your health questions, and we're especially looking for questions related to divorce recovery. Post them on our Facebook page, Go Healthy for Good. You can also send us a tweet, or better yet, you can call us right now. The number is 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. Now, I have a text message here. This is a question for you, Dr. Oliver. After divorce, and even after more than 6 months, I find myself feeling angry. Are there any appropriate ways to release anger? I really don't want to feel this way anymore.
Absolutely. If it's 6 months and you're still feeling angry, perhaps you need some professional help. Go to a counselor. Find someone that is very good. And it's just like finding a physician. You know, find out from your friends or people in the neighborhood or people at work, someone who is a good counselor, good therapist, and have a conversation. You know, many times we have all these pent-up feelings bottled up. We're angry. We feel defeated. We feel that we failed. And we need to have a conversation with somebody else. So that's my suggestion. Don't do it all on your own. You know, it's just like needing to go to a dentist. You know, you don't go in the back room with a pair of pliers and try to handle it yourself.
Right.
With emotions, it's the same. Mm-hmm. If you can't heal by yourself, go find a professional who can help you on that road to recovery.
Thank you. Now, another question here. How can I concentrate more on the future and let go of the past? I know I need to, but I'm finding that hard.
Again, that conversation with a counselor might be able to help you, but you can also do it yourself. You can change your self-talk. Many times what happens in divorce is that our marriage, our personalities, our who we are, is wrapped up in our marriage, our status in society, and we lose that status many times. You know, perhaps you're married to a beautiful woman, you're married to a powerful man, you're this power couple in society, people see you a certain way, wherever it is that people know you, and you miss that. Get over it. You know, just realize that it's not your reality anymore. Create a new reality. These things do happen to people, and people survive.
And it might be important for this person to begin to set goals.
Yes, absolutely.
That are self-focused, yes. Perhaps.
Yes.
Where they've always set goals, partner-focused.
Yes.
They start to set personal goals.
Absolutely.
And, you know, change can be something that we can choose to make a good thing, or we can choose to make, a terrible thing.
Well, it's a choice that you have. You can choose to be happy. You know, be proactive. Stephen Covey, Dr. Covey, speaks about the 7 habits of highly effective people. And the first habit is be proactive. So if you're not feeling well, how do you take your life into your own hands? What choices do you make? What things do you get involved in? You stay home and just wallow in your pity. You're never going to get better. Go to museums. Go to concerts. Go out to dinner with friends, you know.
Those are little
go
things.
Go to a spa, you know. Get a massage, you know. Get a facial. You know, get your nails done, you know. Something that makes you feel good. And if you have a little money, go shopping. Something that can take your mind away from your problems and realize that you can create a new reality for yourself.
Great. Those are little things that can be done quite easily, and they involve being on your own.
And exercise. You know, you get a lot of endorphins exercising. You release a lot of stress and tension. You were just doing some exercise.
Yes.
There. I mean, you look pretty strenuous. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm sitting down. But you're right. Exercise can be a great pick-me-up.
Eat well. You know, don't, you know, quit eating and lose weight. Well, lose weight the right way. Mm. Make sure you have nutritious meals and that you are eating enough protein and vitamins and getting sunshine, walk, exercise, move. Do something that keeps you alive.
Treat yourself well.
Treat yourself well, absolutely.
Yes. Now, there was another question here. That was that one. It's been some time since I was divorced. How do I start dating again? It's really difficult for me to approach a new relationship without bringing the baggage from my failed marriage.
Yes, this is true. That's why second marriages have higher divorce rates, and that's why third marriages have higher divorce rate. You can't divorce yourself from yourself and from what has happened to you. But get well. That's why we never encourage anyone to look for a new relationship on the rebound. Get well. Have time.
How long would you call the rebound? For this person, they're saying, how do I start dating? How would someone know that they're no longer on the rebound?
Well, it's different for different people, depending on your energy level. For some people, it may be 6 months. For other people, it may be a year. I think a year is a good time to allow yourself to decompress, allow yourself to be a new person, which is what you are now. You have to get used to a new reality. Be comfortable in your skin before you begin to explore a new relationship.
So it's that comfortable in your own skin. Happy to be alone.
Yes. Yes.
Then you're ready to move on.
Yes. If you must be with someone, you're not ready. You know, if you have to be with someone or you're going to go crazy, no. Slow down, calm down, center yourself, you know, feel good in your own skin. If you don't feel good about you, you're not ready to be with someone else. And be sure that your relationships are settled. Remember, you've given up a lot of people. Now you have ex-in-laws and ex-extended family and stuff like that.
Ex-friends.
Yes, because friends take sides and you lose a lot of people. But be comfortable with your surroundings, the people that now make up your social life. And there's something you need to remember, a spiritual nugget. You are never an ex-child of God. God is always around. So if you are a person of faith and you believe, hold on to that faith, you know, and find comfort and solace in that faith.
Here's another question. I'm trying to be civil, but my spouse is trying to turn my kids against me. What do I do?
We're back to being proactive. The whole notion of being proactive is living in your circle of control. You can't control other people's behavior, but you can control your response. So it doesn't matter what your spouse is doing, your ex-spouse is doing, or saying, be in control of yourself. That's all you can do. You can't control your spouse. You can't control what he or she says or does. You can control what you do. And that's about the best you can do.
I like that. How do I know when it's time to give up, when it's time to fight for my marriage versus time to say, I've fought as hard as I can, it's not working? How do you know when you've reached that point?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I am very objective when it comes to that. I'm pro-marriage. I believe that people need to fight for their marriage. And what we do know, based on research, and research done by Dr. Paul Amato from the University of Penn State University. He's a family sociologist, and I read a lot of his stuff, been to conferences with him. His research suggests that most couples, most marriages that end in divorce in the United States, those couples are in good enough marriages. It means that if you were a little patient, forgiving, went to a marriage conference, a marriage retreat, saw a counselor, spoke to your pastor or someone, speak to someone who, your parents, your in-laws, if they have strong, solid marriages,
and they're pro-marriage. Speak to someone who will help you to understand that no marriage is perfect. We, most couples, again, are in good enough marriages. You don't have to divorce. Divorce is not a must. I will say, and if Elaine were here today, so let me channel Elaine, she would say, I refuse to be in an unhappy marriage. What's the alternative? Well, the alternative is not only get out of your marriage. The alternative is make your marriage better. And it takes one. Based on my choices, how I respond to my spouse can make a difference in where we're heading and where we end up. So each person still has choice. How I respond to my spouse will determine how we will interact in our marital relationship. So I have something to do with it.
Right. So if the other party of this marriage were still willing to make it work, then
yeah, of course. Good ground. You can't force the other person to stay, but if you know what's good for you, what we do know also is that marriage is good for people. People who are married live longer, are healthier, their children do better. So there are lots of reasons to stay together.
So think about those. But if your happily ever after has been cut short by divorce, don't lose heart. Find a support group or a close friend with whom you can confide. Be patient with yourself. After all, change takes time. Time really does ease the pain. Search for blessings in every day and be grateful for them. Choose to embrace change and move forward. Let anger give way to forgiveness. It's the key to healing. Take the opportunity to do things that perhaps you've never done before. Set new goals and decide that to have a fuller and happier life. On tomorrow's show, we're going meatless. Find out why so many people are saying goodbye to meat and hello to a plant-based diet. Thanks for joining me on Go Healthy for Good. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Just look for Go Healthy for Good. We can do it together. See you next time.